Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
Hey, good morning to you. 9 minutes after 9 o'clock on a Monday morning, the 13th day of May. I'm Andy Griffin. This is the Andy Griffin Show. Jack Lancaster is with me as well. Hi, Jack.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you doing, buddy? You sound different today. Do you have a cold?
I'm actually right now in my son's basement up here getting ready to do baseball playoffs, and it's freezing in this basement. So I'm dressed for warm weather, but it's cold in here.
You're up here where?
Up here in Salt Lake County.
Taylorville. Oh, Salt Lake. Okay.
Yeah.
So who am I looking at here?
Who are you looking at right now? You're probably looking at Stockton.
Hello. My name is Stockton Myers. I'm 27 years old, single, and not willing to mingle.
Hey, you know what, Andy? I have an idea. I know it's your show.
Yeah?
Well, this discussion, can we bring Stockton in on a few things, get his opinion?
If you would like to, absolutely. Yeah,
if you'll have me.
He has certain areas of expertise. They're not necessarily the same areas of expertise.
He's 27, single, not willing to mingle. You know, he just described himself.
I'm not willing to mingle because I'm not actually sure if I'm single anymore.
Oh.
Yeah, but I can't.
I think we just had some breaking news.
I'm afraid it's still in the budding stages, so I don't know exactly what it is. All I know is that I probably shouldn't be looking anymore.
Now, Stockton, you told me last week, you said, this is not for the radio. Don't mention this on the radio, but I am dating a girl. And then you
brought it up.
And I bring it up. Yeah, I know.
Oh, my gosh, young man. Now this will be a good show, Andy. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming in, Jack. On kind of short notice, Jack was on just last Monday, but with next week being a holiday and the week after that, we've got artist Eric Dowdle on the show. And so I had an opportunity to get Eric on. I'm like, let's do this. And so he'll be on the show.
Next week's Eric and 2 weeks is a holiday.
Yeah, I was
You got me
scared for a second.
I think he's got jet lag up there.
I have like plans for May 27th. And I was like, did I misschedule my plans? I'm going on vacation. I'm going to California. So I was like, uh-oh.
Maybe I did that back. But anyway, Eric Dowdle, I'm excited to have him on the show.
He's awesome.
He's the guy that did, you know, the Washington City puzzle recently. He also has done Santa Clara. He's done St. George. He's done the BYU football stadium and the Utah football stadium. He's done the Delicate Arch. But if you go to Eric Dowdle's website, he has done just about every major landmark in the world. And the way he does, he has to go there and look at them and then draw them. It's amazing.
Yeah. So,
very cool. We'll have him on the air.
I think he was first introduced to us at the Arts Festival years and years ago.
Yeah, and
that's
he's
the first
a
time
Utah
ever
guy.
Heard of his work. Yeah,
grew up in Linden, Utah, which is between Orem and Lehigh, I think, okay. Right in there. Yeah. And in fact, if you pay attention as you're going around the bend there by Geneva Steel, but between the lake and where Geneva Steel used to be, is Eric Dowdle has a big old. I don't know.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. We were up there last week, 2 weeks ago, and I remember seeing that up there. Yeah.
So. I was reading an article today, guys, and I wanted to, you know, maybe have you weigh in and talk about this a little bit. And it's a sensitive topic, Jack. You and I grew up in what was known as the equal rights, you know, the
women's rights
movement, feminist movement.
Feminism, yay, baby.
The ERA, equal rights and all that stuff, burning the bras, all that stuff. And you know, as guys, we weren't really allowed to have an opinion. And I say that a little bit tongue-in-cheek, but a little bit not. Because if someone were to ask us about feminism, especially as, you know, our juxtaposition of being members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and feminism, how it applies to that, and also feminism just in the general relationship of the world, they didn't want to hear what guys had to say. I mean, that's the whole point, right? They wanted to hear what women had to say. And so, Jack, you and I were, you know, growing up, we were kind of like, yeah, you know, feminism, good, yay. You know, we don't know what to say. We're not sure. We don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to, you know, come across as, well, we think women should belong in a kitchen or anything like that. I mean, that's you know, we just stayed out of it. And that's what I think we were supposed to do, right, Jack?
That was the plan. you know, just keep your damn mouth shut. When we want your opinion, we'll ask you.
For sure.
And it better be the right one.
Feminism did its thing, and there was great progress made, and some would say there is still progress that needs to be made. If you talk about what women like to call the glass ceiling, where women make less money than men in similar jobs.
By the way.
I personally, Jack, don't buy into that. Well, I maybe that's true in some cases, but I look at my wife's career, and she has had a 30-year career working in the courts and working for Washington City. What she has had, I wouldn't have had. And I'm not talking about the money. Maybe I would have made more money doing what she did. I don't know. But she had the opportunity if we had a doctor's appointment, if we had a kid that needed to, needed to go to the dentist or something like her job was so flexible, she could just take off a couple of hours and go get that done and then go back to work. That's not the kind of thing that men are usually allowed to do, or at least they didn't used to be allowed to do. So in my opinion, maybe my wife made less than I would have made in a similar job, but she had way more flexibility than I would have had in a similar job. So for me, it was worth a trade-off. Now, you were saying it's a fallacy. Tell me your thoughts on this.
Well, I mean, if women make 30% less than men, then why aren't there more women than men in the workforce because they can hire them for cheaper?
Mm. Ooh.
Which,
that's
not the case.
That is food for thought, Jack.
Well, yeah. Of course it is. But what's that?
You operate a business. Uh-huh. In no way do women make less than men in your business, correct?
No,
right? For same job.
Nope. Same. The job has a certain pay scale, and if they're applying for that job, that's the pay they get. Whatever that job is. We've got 3 or 4 different jobs, and that's what they get. So, yeah. And it's like, the another thing is, though, is, men don't have to take time off for raising babies or having babies,
Right.
They're more willing to move to get a better job to a different different location, to a different city or whatever, different state. They have less, I think, on average, less medical issues or for over time. That probably has to do with being female and being sometimes having babies. And if you start a family, you're going to have 2 or 3 kids, and you start taking decades off to raise your family, which is a viable thing to do, it's like you don't progress into that career. You've got to start over, or you've got to start where you left off when you come back.
It's where my mom went. Yeah. My mom was an English teacher for special ed students in like 3rd grade, and then had my oldest brother, and then she never went back because she became a stay-at-home mom. That was her full-time job at that point.
But at the time, if she's working... for example, with other teachers, and let's say there's a male teacher doing the same job, hired with the same tenure, if you will.
Right.
I would guarantee you she's getting paid the same amount of money.
Yeah.
So it's a fallacy. It's a thing the feminists like to talk about to paint themselves out as victims, which if you have victim status, then you can get people's attention. That's all it is.
So right now, Jack, if a feminist was listening to this program, and there probably is one or two, listening to this program,
I don't know why.
They right now would say, listen to those guys. Those guys are being so misogynistic. They're being so chauvinistic. They just don't understand what we go through. Is that a fair assessment?
Maybe I'm being misogynistic by their point of view, and you're right. I don't understand what they go through. I'm not a woman. But I can tell you, I've been in sales most of my career. When I was in sales in Las Vegas at a TV station, the number one salesperson there was a woman. She wasn't even close. I worked here,
Did she get less commission than you?
She got the same commission everybody else got.
Woman?
Yeah, but she worked She worked really good. She was smart. She had a lot of contacts. She made more money than anybody else. Even here in this office.
Yeah, our head of sales is Heather, and
she's a sales manager now. But I mean, back when I was here at a desk, I was next door to a woman who was the number one salesperson in this office.
Uh-huh.
A different woman. Yeah. I won't say her name. But, one of my clients in Cedar City was a real estate agent, and she's the number one listing agent in Cedar City. So it doesn't, it's a thing that's, it's a fallacy. Okay. If I, let's say I need a, I don't know. Let's say I need a receptionist. I'm not going to pay the guy more than I'm going to pay the woman. Just because he's a guy.
You're going to pay the person the same amount.
It's the job.
It's the job. Yeah.
Right.
So here's, I mean, I understand the point you're making. It's a great point. And again, we have been mostly, as guys, we have been told, just shut up. This is the way it is. But now the feminists who have been, my whole life, your whole life, Jack, have been very loud and very, I mean, they want us to know, right? You know, women need higher pay and women need this and that. And we should not kowtow to men. And you know, some of it justified, some of it not. But now, all these years of them being loud, they're being quiet now. What's going on?
You mean you're talking about why aren't they coming out against the Islamification of our college campuses, for example, and how Islam treats women? Is that one example?
That's a good start. In fact, you have. I thought this was ironic and funny, but not funny at the same time. The other day I saw a picture of a girl in a crop top, you know, a little tube top thing, her belly sticking out, her shoulders are showing and everything. Whatever, you wear whatever you want, right? She was holding a sign that said something about, you know, let Hamas go free or something, some, you know, whatever, pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian.
Uh-huh.
If that woman was standing in Rafah or in Syria,
Tehran,
or any of these places, in that clothing, wearing that exact outfit, uh-huh, you know what would happen?
She'd probably get thrown into a hole and stoned.
Yeah, they would kill her for dressing like that.
Yeah,
and here she is holding a sign saying, "I support these guys."
Well, honey, I call you honey. You like that term of endearment?
Hey, honey.
I think there's two types of people in this world, and I think I've said this on the air. You know, you've got your evil people who know what the real thing is, and you've got people who follow these evil people, and they're useful idiots. You know, this is an example of a useful idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me give you a couple of other examples of where is feminism? Why are they being silent? We need them right now. How about women's sports?
Yep.
How far have we come in women's sports? It's made such progress. My whole life, Jack, I've been a sports writer. I don't think women's sports was ever thought of as negative or bad. It's just that there wasn't much to it.
Right.
And now you look at women, you look at Caitlin Clark, she's setting records in attendance and women's sports is prominent. I mean, you're talking about, you know, the women's softball championships going on right now and everybody's talking about that and you got, you know, the gymnasts winning gold medal. Everything about women's sports is on the upswing, except there's one problem. There are guys out there who were very marginal athletes who maybe they didn't identify as female because of sports, because they wanted to win, but it certainly was a factor in their decision to go ahead and, you know, do whatever you need to do to identify as a woman. And then they're going out and they're winning women's sports. And I'm just like, okay, this is wrong. It seems pretty obviously wrong to me. Where are the feminists? Where are the women going, hey, wait a minute, we fought so hard to make women's sports real, to make women's sports respectable, to win money, to fund women's sports, and now you got guys competing in women's sports and winning and dominating?
Yeah.
Where are they?
It's funny because that's a disconnect. That's a logical disconnect. And
yeah.
You don't see it. But what you do see is and you don't see women transitioning to a male ego, if you will, and trying to compete on a men's team. You don't see that at all.
No.
I mean, I think there's a boxer or a MMA fighter that transitioned to a male persona, and then she got really hurt and beat up pretty bad. And I don't know the specifics of that. Joe Rogan talks about it. But you just don't see that the other way. And I'm sorry, and this is off the subject of the feminists, but why can't these athletes, so-called athletes, I'll call them that because they can't compete with the guys, why can't they accept the fact they're not good enough to make the team?
Yeah.
I tried out for basketball in high school. I wasn't good enough to make the team. It never dawned on me to call myself a girl and try out for the girls' team. Why can't these guys just accept? Yeah, I know. I would have dominated. Damn straight I would have
dominated. Except you wouldn't be able to get out there on time because you wouldn't know how to put a bra on.
but so, you understand the point.
Let me give you.
You know, nobody's told these kids no.
Yeah.
Okay. But I don't know where these feminists are. It doesn't make sense.
Problem.
I think these guys, you know, they're trans. And so therefore they're intersectional in their oppression. And so therefore they have to be supported, you know. And it flies in the face of everything making sense, everything logical, and it's I don't know, I think half the time they just do it to drive the rest of us crazy. Maybe that's it. I don't know.
Let's go back to the Islam, the women not standing up for being equal citizens when it comes to what Islam applies to women, which basically the beliefs of Palestinians is that women should always have their head covered. Now, I went to my daughter's apartment. My daughter is sharing an apartment with a girl from Jordan.
Uh-huh.
And we went, you know, met my daughter in the parking lot. We were going to go into her apartment. She was just getting out of class. And she said, wait out here. So we had to wait out in the hallway. She said, I'm going to go make sure my roommate is decent. So I was like, okay, I guess I don't want to walk on a girl if she's standing there in her bra or whatever.
Yeah.
And after a couple of minutes, my daughter came back out and she said, okay, you can come in now. And her roommate was in the kitchen, and she had, what do they call the things on the head? The hijab or whatever?
Hijab, yeah.
The head covering. And after she finished making her lunch or whatever and left to go to class, and I said to my daughter, I said, I guess she wasn't dressed, so she had to get dressed. And she said, no, she's not allowed to be seen by a man without her head covering on.
Yeah, right.
I was like, oh, okay. Well, that's a religious belief, whatever. But in Germany right now, modern day, 2024, there are loads and loads of Muslim immigrants. They're calling them, I want to see what the word he used for it, migrants, I guess, Islamic migrants. And they're having a real problem with these Islamic migrants being cruel to women.
Yeah.
And in fact, on two different occasions, there were occasions where a white German girl was taken out in the woods and molested by not one, but a group of migrants. So one of the lawmakers in Germany, a lady by the name of Marie Kaiser, she brought forth a bill censuring basically these Afghani nationals, saying they are committing these crimes. We need to do something about it. So did something get done about it? No. In fact, Marie Kaiser was arrested and cited with the crime of incitement to hatred for posting a link to data showing Afghani nationals are committing vast number of gang rapes of German girls. In other words, gangs of illegal alien rapists in Germany are protected and treated as victims, while a German woman, lawmaker, who posted a link to the data is punished and given a criminal record for, quote, incitement to hatred, unquote.
Right. That just shows you the logical progression of this ideology. And if we don't nip it in the bud over here, then it's going to get to that point. And because they've already gone that far in Germany and in England. They've already gone way past that.
They're defending the bad guys.
Yeah. Oh, well, they're the victim. You know?
Yeah.
They're the victim.
They're the victims.
You know, it's not their fault that they can't run their own country and that they get run out by their people. And, you know, we've got to accommodate them over, you know, in our country. We've got to make them create their own communities and have their own laws and do their own thing. And, you know, if they happen to, you know, take out their vengeance, or if they happen to take advantage of some unsuspecting, you know, local girl, well, that's okay, because, you know, after all, they didn't know any better. What else does that sound like?
Yeah.
Does that sound like certain prosecutors in certain big cities in this country? defending certain minorities, excusing them for their riots and their whatever.
So, Jack, we've come a long way in becoming civilized.
I think we went backwards on the civilization thing about 20 years ago. We started the road backward.
Sometimes I was about to say sometimes maybe too far.
Yeah.
But there's a certain barbarism, and I don't know. I think the defense is ignorance. Oh, I didn't know this was such a bad crime. Oh, I didn't know there was anything wrong with persecuting women with, you know, she's just a woman who didn't have her head covered, so she deserves whatever I give to her.
Uh-huh.
That is acceptable right now in modern Germany. I remember maybe a year ago, there was a road rage incident in England, of all places, believe it or not. I thought everybody in England was nice, but there was a road rage incident in which a British guy, I guess, cut off some guys who were Somalian immigrants.
Yeah.
And they got, you know, they kind of going side by side, yelling at each other, flipping each other, whatever happens in road rage. So the Somali guy, two guys from Somalia, ended up running the guy off the road. They got a machete out of their trunk and cut the guy's head off.
Wow.
That was their road rage incident. And it wasn't one guy losing it. It was two guys methodically doing this. And the barbarism of that was in England, but here too was shocking. It was stomach turning. It was like, wait a minute, this is modern society. We don't do stuff like that. And they got prosecuted for murder, but still, I mean, the barbarism. I don't know, Jack. It turns my stomach. Is what?
Yeah. Well, you know, you have to pick and choose who you let in your country, or else you're gonna reap what you sow.
We're not doing that, Jack. We're not picking and choosing who we're letting into our country.
Okay,
right,
but I'm just saying that's going to happen. I mean, I always told, you know, I think here's the thing about, you know, we have this uncontrolled immigration from Latin America, and at least they're Christian.
Yeah. You know,
they're hardworking folks. They're trying to make a better life, and they're Christian. Those poor guys in Europe, they're Islamic. Okay? They're not even Christian. So there's even less of a commonality going on over there. You know,
and
you don't get that kind of, you know, culturally, you don't get that kind of barbarism out of a Christian society. Right.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
But I think, you know, you're still going to have to find out why it is curious. I would really like to talk to a feminist who's defending, you know, this stuff. I really like to talk to a feminist who's defending the trans people playing in the female sports, the trans guy. And it's funny because on YouTube, I've been watching these Senate hearings, and this senator from Louisiana, Kennedy, he's fun to watch. And, you know, he was on there questioning Biden's Department of Education guy, and he's trying to find out what the new rules for Title IX are going to be, right? You know, the where they revised the Title IX so that they're going to allow trans people. He would not even begin to comment on anything like that. He wouldn't say, and that's the thing with these Biden officials. He was talking to the Secretary of the Interior. She knew nothing about half the things he was talking about. I know this is a little off topic, but they're going to do this giant wind farm up in Idaho on a reservation land, and nobody up there wants it because it's an eyesore, and yet the Department of Interior is going to allow it to happen. Because the company that's putting it up, I guess they're greasing the wheels over there. But this whole Biden administration, it's not just him. It's everybody from him down to every one of his secretaries and every one of these people. And you can see that from Mayorkas. You can see that in his vice president. Because, you know, here's the thing. When you hire, when you do a diversity hire, you can't fire that person if they're incompetent.
No.
Think about that for a minute.
No. You would be racist if you hired them.
You'd be racist if you fired them. You're not racist if you hired them.
I mean, fired them. Yeah, fired them. That's what I'm
But you can't them. Fire them for incompetence. Okay, that's a diversity hire. So that person's got to be there because of their intersectionality. But this person that was the Secretary of Education, I think, could not define Title IX, could not define what they're going to do with it, how they're going to change it to allow trans men to compete with women. He wouldn't answer the questions straight up. And that's every one of them. Every single one of these Biden officials. And it's really insulting to sit there and watch that to think that these people think that they're being, they're evasive and that, that none of us are paying attention to this. It's amazing.
Yeah. And insulting.
I highly recommend, if you really want to have some entertainment, spend some time listening to Senator Kennedy interview these people. He's amazing. He is so good because he comes at you like he's aw shucks kind of guy, you know. And, you know, he's got this professor about global warming saying that these McMansions in Houston are hurting the environment. And he's from he works for Tulane University. And yet he wants all the colleges out there to divest and not take money from big oil or fossil fuel companies. But yet Tulane took $25 million from big oil. But that's okay because it wasn't given to his department. So that's okay. But it's not okay for anybody else. And yet Tulane was building all these 15,000 square foot buildings, like five different buildings on campus that were 15,000, 20,000 square feet. But that's okay too because it's for the school. But you can't have your McMansion, which is like a small, large house or a larger than average house. Because that's bad for the environment. Yeah,
Jack, I got to get it. Before we get you too wound up, I do need to get a commercial break.
Too late.
I was about to say, Jack is ranting.
He is rolling. We'll take a break when we come back. More with Jack Lancaster. This is the Andy Griffin Show.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back, 939 on KDXU. I'm Andy, Jack Lancaster with me on the show today. We've got him riled up. You okay, Jack?
Yeah, I'm fine. I've wound down now. I've calmed down.
That's good. I wanted to spend a couple of minutes talking about something that almost forgotten, something that's gone away from our lives. I found a great article online. It's a guy talking about... Well, the name of the article is the one... wrong story. I want to give you the right story. The name of the article is, Can Public Parks Save Us from Loneliness? And the idea... The guy reminisces about growing up and going to the park all the time because he lived in an apartment building. So they didn't have a yard. They didn't have, you know, really... You either played inside or you went to the park. That's what you did. And, Jack, you and I are from an era... where the city park, the park was a big part, especially before you get your driver's license, you can drive to places. So, you know, from the age of, I would say, what, 6 to 16, 6 to 15, the public park was a pretty important part of our lives. And, you know, in this article, Can Public Parks Save Us from Loneliness, he talks about the other thing that we don't think about with parks is, so the kids would go play, and oftentimes the parents would sit on the park bench and talk to each other, actually have a conversation. And maybe they didn't have the same political views. Maybe they didn't have the same religious views. Maybe they had very little, if anything, in common. And yet they would sit on this park bench and chat with each other. And it seems like to me, boy, that's something that's really gone the way of the dodo bird, Jack. Any thoughts on any memories from parks in your youth?
Well, as a young man growing up here in St. George, I was further away from the parks than I was the Red Hill, which was out my front door. And the Red Hill was much more interesting.
Yeah.
Because there was caves and there was, you know, snakes and lizards and, you know, all kinds of fun stuff. But I, you know, as a parent, when I was, I had two daughters and I got divorced. I think my youngest was probably two or three years old. So I'd take them to the park when I had them. And I really never chatted up the other married ladies there.
Get in trouble.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Yeah. But I always thought the parks were kind of boring. You know, it was much more interesting to go out in the hills.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So I want to ask Stockton now. Stockton, were parks important to you growing up?
You know, that's a tough question because we had a big backyard. At my house that I grew up in. So I didn't really, and we had all the amenities that a park had. We had a playground, we had a sandbox, we had a trampoline. We even had a sports court which was essentially just a basketball court. We even had a jacuzzi. But I will say, I have many, many, many memories at Cox Park.
Which one's that?
That's over by, it's over on River Road, over on the east side of the freeway. Kind of by, right by Heritage Elementary School. And I have a lot of memories there, specifically with like family reunions and stuff like that. So parks, well, and for my nephews and nieces, oh my gosh, parks are like so key to their, and they're key to them and they're key to my, my brothers and sisters, because it's like, all right, I can sit down for a second as long as I have my eye on them.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, in my youth, things like those little merry-go-rounds, we called them merry-go-rounds. I don't know. They were kind of like death machines. You would get on and somebody would be on the side spinning as fast as you could. And the idea was to see if you could actually stay on the thing without, you know, going flying. And those were teeter-totters. I don't know if they do those anymore. Teeter-totters were pretty cool. The jungle gym, and, you know, you'd climb up 30 feet in the air and try not to fall onto whatever was down there.
Sorry, I got to ask. So teeter-totter, is that the same as a seesaw?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, same thing.
So when you get the other guy gets you up in the air, then he jumps off and you go down on your butt.
I wish I didn't know what you meant, but I'm the youngest of four siblings, so I do know what that means.
So my wife grew up in New Jersey, and they didn't have a big yard, but what they did have was exactly across the street from their house was a city park. And she said it was so funny because, like, her mom was pretty protective, you know, like a lot of moms are. But her mom, because the park was across the street, she allowed those three girls in the family to go across the street and play because she could look out the front window and they were there, you know. But my wife said, she used to say, go play. And we would go to the park, and we thought we were 100 miles from home. We had this freedom to do whatever we wanted, and you know, when we had to go home when it started to get dark and the streetlights came on. That was it.
Yeah.
And she said that the park represented so much, even though it was actually just out the front window. She said she felt so free and you know, had this ability to just act like you didn't have parents and you didn't have siblings and you didn't have any. You just had you and the world, and you were conquering the world. You know, I sometimes, I guess maybe too much, look back nostalgically at my experience with parks during my youth, and you know, same way I had, there were so many different parks that had, with so many different, I mean, we remember those big long metal slides, Jack?
Yeah.
It was basically cookie sheets. And when the sun would shine, it was a hot day, those things got.
Yeah, it'd take your skin off if you're wearing shorts.
Yeah.
Be careful.
We slid anyway. We didn't care.
Yeah.
And then I remember one slide. It was so high. First of all, it had to be 20, 25 feet up to the top of it. And it was so high that if you fell off the top, there would be serious injury. But we never fell off. But you would then get on the slide, and it was so fast that when you went off the end, it was like a jump.
my nephew, when you
hit the end.
Yeah, when he was, I think, 6 or 7 years old, he... down here at Vernon Worthen Park, he climbed to the top, fell off, broke his arm. Yeah. So that's why they don't have those slides like that anymore down there.
Probably wouldn't have killed you, but probably would have done some.
I've heard the big concrete slide at the new park by Dinosaur Crossing, the Fossil Falls Park. I hear that one you can pick up some real serious speed too.
Now I know you and I heard this from Mayor Randall.
True. Okay. Yeah. Now,
with all due respect, Mayor Randall is a 58-year-old female.
Yeah.
So I think I have to take this really fast with a grain of salt. Now, I probably would think it was fast, too. I don't know if you would, but.
Are you saying Mayor Randall is going 5 under the speed limit all the time and is like, I'm fast right now?
Kind of what I'm saying, yeah. So anyway, here's to City Parks. We love you. I'm so glad that we live in a town, St. George, Utah, that values parks and trails and things like that.
Well, I grew up, we went to the pond, and there was a pond 2 blocks away. It's the pond at the top of Main Street. But when I was growing up, it wasn't developed out as a park, and we had swings on the trees there. We had a zip line across it. We had a raft, and we were fishing there. Every day in the summer, I just lived up there. It was
the best. That sounds like a perfect childhood, Jack.
Yeah.
How did you turn out so screwed up after a perfect childhood like that?
Well, it takes work, you know.
I'm just kidding. We love you, Jack. I got to get another commercial break. And again, this is the Andy Griffith Show. Jack is with me today. Stockton weighing in as well. We'll be Well, I was going to say we'll be right back, and then my screen changed on me. Let's try again. Okay, we will be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk leader.
Welcome back. Me in the foreground, in the background, Jack Lancaster singing or whistling along with the theme. Pretty good, Jack.
How did you know it wasn't me, Andy?
I've done it before.
I recognize the whistle.
Nobody's asked me to whistle. Pretends like I can whistle.
I was going to say, Stockton, you've been in a lot of plays during the course of your young life. Have you ever had one where you had to whistle?
Unfortunately, I cannot whistle. I've tried for years and years and years. I can kind of whistle in front of my birds, and that's about it.
What kind of birds do you have?
Cockatiels. One is a cinnamon cockatiel, and the other one's a silver dominant.
They're great whistlers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They love to whistle.
One would argue a little too
great. Much.
I love them so much, yeah. But no, they love to show off.
Oh, okay. All right. Love to put you to shame.
Yeah.
Now, Jack and I are both big sports fans. It's weird. Being a sports fan is very scalable. For instance, I have your former boss, my current boss, Bart, is a hardcore Los Angeles Dodgers fan.
Yeah.
To the point where if you ask Bart, who is the second baseman for the double A affiliate of the Dodgers, he could tell you that. And he could probably tell you the guy's batting average. I am not that kind of sports fan. Like I love BYU football. I love the Dallas Cowboys football. You know, I grew up in Texas. I'm a big Houston Astros fan. I love the University of Texas. But if you ask me the stats of the second string quarterback or the guy on the JV or the guy that the minor league affiliate, I don't know. And I don't, quite frankly, I don't want to know. But sports is definitely, sports fanage is scalable. When I was dating my wife, she, first of all, never had any use for sports at all. I mean, she didn't know the rules of baseball or football. Basketball a little simpler. You put the ball through the hole. That's basically it. But early on, I tried to get her involved in some of the things I love, like going to ball games and stuff. And she humored me, I guess is the best way to put it. But one thing that I've learned and I've been doing, I've been broadcasting, by the way, that helped me that I actually found a way to get paid to go to sports. One thing I learned all along the way is always life is more important than sports. Sometimes life gets in the way of sports, and that's how it should be. This past week, Santa Quinn police officer Hoosier, I forget his first name, but he was, I think, Bill.
Bill.
He was killed by a guy who purposely ran him over, basically, going the wrong way in his truck and that whole thing. You know, it's all alleged, and there's gonna be a big old court case and stuff. But basically, this guy ran a policeman over and killed him. Also last week at the rodeo up in Salt Lake, a 19-year-old bull rider was killed when he was bucked off his bull and broke his neck and died. And
that happened at the rodeo? Sports and,
yeah. When you think about sports and what it means to us, Jack, I've seen this again and again. When somebody is seriously hurt, I think about Damar Hamlin of the Bills a couple years ago on Monday Night Football. And, you know, sports, just as much as we love it, as important as it is to us, sometimes it really doesn't matter, right, Jack? I mean, sometimes it just, you know, I mean, you and I remember playing in a game with you and I play, and somehow an A division team got put down in our D league or whatever it was, and they beat us. I think it was like 110 to 40 or something like that. And they were dunking on it. They were having so much fun, and we were just, you know, whatever. But you know, I didn't go home and beat my wife. I didn't go home and yell at my kids or anything like that because it was just sports, right?
Well, you know, sports is a great metaphor for life, for one thing. And we learned so much about how to deal with adversity, how to deal with failure, and how to deal with success. Because you experience everything. You experience the spectrum of emotions. And, you know, sports is a way to get exercise. It makes you feel good. It's a way to, you know, feel a sense of accomplishment when you get really good at a certain aspect of a game. Like, for example, you know, I used to specialize in three-point shots. And when I had an on night, it was just amazing. You know, there was nothing better than that feeling, for example. And so, you know, for me, it was always, you know, let's go play and let's have some fun. And I can put away my cares. I can put away the rest of the world for a while and just concentrate on that thing, you know.
But you know, and I agree with you 100%. I will say this, though. Your best night, making all those three-pointers, fantastic. And I've had similar nights where you just, everything's working, right?
Yeah, everything. It's rare.
And then you compare that to, you know, the first time you met your wife and fell in love with her, or when one of your children was born, or, you know, on the sad spectrum, you might lose a game and be sad, but it's not as sad as when you lose someone you love. And, you know, I lost my mother a few years ago, and as sad as I was that, you know, my team didn't make the playoffs or whatever, it was nothing compared to real life, you know?
It's not compared to the importance and the grandeur that you experience in life's defining moments. But it's a simile, I think. I think it's it's an analogy. It can be, you know. And when you win the church regional basketball, you know, championship, you know, you get that adrenaline rush. You get that high for a minute. Now, obviously, it's not as wonderful as having your baby or, you know, falling in love for the first time with the sweetheart. But it is an analogy of that. It's a simile of that. It's and so you can experience similar emotions, maybe not as intense for as long or as life-defining. But I think that's something that we can experience on a more – and then as a spectator, you know, like our friend Bart, you know, following his team, you know, he can experience that, you know, as a bystander or and you identify yourself with the team. You know, a lot of people will get tattoos of the team logos on themselves. They'll even be buried in team caskets. I think it just plays an important part of life that, you know, we can't all be, you know, work all the time. We have to do something that gives us a little break from the routine, lets us, you know, get out of who we are. You know, for a minute you can think that maybe I'm as good as John Stockton at this assist game that I'm playing right now on my church ball team or my city league team. You know, I'm just the assist man today, so I'm going to channel a little Stockton here, you know.
John Stockton.
Jack Lancaster sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals. That's not going to happen, probably.
No, that'll never happen, but, you know, it's kind of fun to have that emotional, you know, what if, you know, that little story.